The Lord, ye know, is God indeed. Without our aid, he did us make. We are his flock, he doth us feed. And for his sheep, he did us take. I read from the Holy Scriptures, Matthew 26, 31 through verse 40. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Let us pray together. O God, our Father, we come together here today before thee to bow in reverence because thou art greater than our best, to bow before thee because we feel a need to confess to thee that we have fallen short of that person which thou hast called us forth to be. We come today to praise and to bless thy name for thy grace poured out to us in the giving to us of Jesus as our Savior, and for the grace that we see daily as thou dost abide with us and care for us, for our families, as thou dost protect us in our going from place to place. Our Father, without thee we could not stand, and we acknowledge to thee our indebtedness. And we come today, our Father, to intercede for our world. We come to ask that thou wouldst call more out into the world to minister for thee. We come to petition thee for those who are engaged in service to thee throughout our world. And we ask that thy spirit would be poured out on them in their ministries. We ask thy blessings on this family, this seminary family, that thou wouldst bless them. Bless each one of us in our ministries and help us to fulfill in some way thy purpose where we serve. We petition thee in a special way today, our Father, for the missions conference that is to be held February 25th through 27th of this month. Prepare those who will come to speak and to serve in that conference, and prepare those who will come from the different college campuses to be here for learning and for inspiration. Father, may their lives be blessings to thee in the future, and may, as they are here, they be stirred in their hearts to a new commitment to thee. We pray, Father, that in this hour we would subject ourselves to thy Spirit, that we would be united with thee in such a way that we would be better ministers of thine in the days ahead, in that part of the world where thou hast called us and dost place us from day to day. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen.
Can't you hold out your light? Oh, children, theme which has been chosen for our 9th annual Student Missions Conference this year is a familiar phrase by John Donne, "No man is an island." I would like to use this morning the 3 quotations which have been chosen to go in our program for this year's conference. The first is taken from John Bailey's Invitation to Pilgrimage. In ancient Hebrew times, religion meant membership in the Israelite community. Christian religion means membership in the Church of Christ. Togetherness with one another is woven into every part of the fabric of the Christian worship of God. The promises of God are not given to those who think to serve Him in separation from their fellow men, or who try to love Him without at the same time loving one another. And the second quotation is taken from Thomas Merton's devotional book entitled, "No Man is an Island." "Every other man is a piece of myself, for I am a part and a member of mankind. Every Christian is a part of my own body, because we are members of Christ. What I do is also done for them and with them and by them. What they do is done in me and by me and for me. But each one of us remains responsible for his own share in the life of the whole body. Charity cannot be what it is supposed to be as long as I do not see that my life represents my own allotment in the life of a whole supernatural organism to which I belong. Only when this truth is absolutely central do other doctrines fit into their proper context. Solitude, humility, self-denial, action and contemplation, the family, war and peace, none of these make sense except in relation to the central reality, which is God's love, living and acting in those whom He has incorporated in His Christ. Nothing at all makes sense unless we admit with John Donne that no man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main." And finally, from John Donne himself, "Any man's death diminishes me because I am involved in mankind, and therefore never sin to know for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee." A Christian is involved with the entire Christian community. The community as a whole finds its responsibility in the service of mankind. But just as the Christian is a part of the church, so also is he a part of this mankind whom he seeks to serve. In a day in which individualism is rampant, we feel that our theme is particularly relevant. Through the program which has been set up, we hope that all participants will find new meaning as they seek to interpret their involvement in mankind. We also hope that the students will be introduced to actual ways in which they might fulfill their mission as a part of the church. Therefore, for our purposes, we hope to interpret our theme, "No Man is an Island," in 2 ways. First, the individual as a part of the church must seek out the meaning of his mission wherever and whatever it is. We hope that our conference will speak to this. And second, we recognize the value of our home and foreign mission boards as they involve Christian people with a mission in missions around the world. Therefore, our conference is also concerned with missions at this level.
I am to speak to you briefly this morning concerning the program personnel for the conference. Basically, we have 3 principal speakers who will be with us for the weekend. Dr. Charles Boddy, who is president of American Baptist Theological School in Nashville, will be speaking Saturday morning on "The Individual is No Island." Then Saturday night, the Reverend James G. Sturtz, who is pastor of the Wake Forest Baptist Church and who is a former missionary to Germany, will be speaking on "The Church is No Island." And on Friday evening and again on Sunday morning, Dr. Colbert G. Rutenberg, who is professor of philosophy of religion at Andover Newton Theological School in Boston, will be speaking to us on Toward Wholeness in a Fragmented World. In addition to these three principal speakers, we also have an additional 50 or so participants and members of the program for that weekend. This number includes some 15 full-time missionaries, some 12 seminary faculty members, and some 12 students, some from seminary and some from the participating colleges, some 5 ministers, and some 5 or 6 other members who have differing titles. Oh, no, yes. We also have a personless program personality for this weekend. And this comes to us in the way of a movie, a short, silent film entitled The Parable, which showed at the World's Fair for the last 2 years. And we're showing this twice during the course of the weekend, once officially for the college students and for those of you who may be interested, on Saturday evening immediately following the gathering with the faculty. But we are also having an unofficial showing before the college students arrive on campus. This is for the benefit of those of you who may not be able to remain for the Saturday evening showing. Thus, we will show it at 4:00 Friday afternoon in Johnson Classroom Building. That's Friday, February the 25th. So we invite you to attend either or both of these showings of the film, The Parable. But I have yet 2 other invitations which I would like to extend to you concerning this weekend and your participation in it. First, I would like to invite you to participate in this weekend as an attender, along with the some 200 college students which we expect to be on our campus. In years past, very little emphasis has been placed on the privilege which belongs to the students of attending the functions of this weekend. But I think all of us have probably arrived at the point by now where we realize that even we, and with due apologies to Dr. Copeland, even we who have had 4 hours in missions still have a little bit to learn in regard to the field of missions and our own life's mission. So we wish you to feel welcomed at any or all of the functions of this weekend. But I have yet a last invitation to extend to you. And this is an invitation to participate as a member of the program itself. There are at present some 30 to 35 students actively engaged in planning this weekend. Now, this sounds like a lot, but actually it's less than 5% of our student body. We need this many and more to help in the program in the following manner. On Friday evening, following the social function in the cafeteria, we're planning to initiate what we are calling open door discussions. Now, the intention of this is to provide an informal atmosphere where the college students might enter the rooms of the seminary students, meet them, mix with them, and talk with them about anything they might so desire. I don't believe I need to tell you of the value which can come out of such a situation as this. But we can only achieve this with your cooperation. So we are asking each of you who will to agree to remain in your rooms between the hours of 10 and 11 on that Friday evening, the 25th of February, and leave your door open so that the students might feel free to come in and chat with you about anything they may desire. Now, this applies to the women in the women's dormitory as well as the men in the men's dormitory. We plan to publish a list with the room numbers of those rooms which are open, along with the occupants which are in those rooms, to distribute to each of the college students so they might know where to find the open doors. There may be several of you who wish to group together and remain in one room as a group. This is acceptable also. There may be some of you who are living out of the dormitories but would like to participate in this. We invite you to do so either by assigning yourself to a room with a friend of yours in it, or by indicating to us that you would like for us to assign a room to you. We would also welcome your support here. Now, we don't plan to twist any arms in this endeavor because we feel that in doing so, we lose the spontaneous volunteering which makes such an endeavor as this successful. But we are asking all of those of you who are willing to please sign your name to the list provided for this purpose in the lobby outside of the chapel. This list will be over in Appleby Classroom Building later in the day and will remain there through the week. The success of at least this part of the weekend depends upon your spirit of cooperation and participation. To reiterate and to sum up my three-point message, we invite you, first of all, to participate in the showing of the film The Parable, either Saturday evening or Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Secondly, to participate in all of the activities of the weekend. And finally, to sign up and participate in the open door discussions to be held Friday evening between 10 and 11 o'clock.
As a member of the Spiritual Preparations Committee, I exhort the seminary family to give the missions weekend its prayerful consideration and its interest. When I first was confronted by the term spiritual preparation, I was reminded of a group of students that I was with in college. As in Greenville, South Carolina, a local evangelist had pitched his tent. And as the group of students went out to the tent and sat in a group, and during the meeting, during the speaking in tongues, the students remained calm, and the evangelist noted, and he pointed with accuracy, and he noted that the presence of the devil was in the midst of the congregation, and it seemed that there were some casters out of devils that the self-appointed evangelist had in his group. And as these casters out of devils came from the back of the tent, I noted a young Jewish boy that came with the college group. The young Jewish boy, being from New Jersey, he was totally unfamiliar with this type of situation, and it seemed that the devils left him before the casters out approached, and he was spiritually prepared and caught up in the evangelistic meeting. This is not what I have when I mean spiritual preparation, as I exhort the seminary family to give the missions conference its interest and prayerful consideration, as I would like for you to consider the nature of life, the nature of your life. And I like the words of John A.T. Robinson in the New Reformation when he says, quote, "For the Christian, life is essentially a response, a hearkening unto obedience. For the Christian lives by the conviction, the trust, that in and through and under all the relationships of this world, there meets him a grace and a demand in whose service alone is to be found life and peace and freedom," end quote. As I consider the nature of my response to the confrontation of the claims of Christ upon my life, I find repose in the response of Dr. Al Hood, who studied on our seminary campus last year, as he said he received no dramatic call, but he was going to Thailand because I want to go. Yes, it's a free response in this life under a Christian. And as we find ourselves in a world of men, in a world of other denominations, and in a world of, yes, other religions, I'm reminded of the consideration that I received as one Saturday afternoon I, being a student pastor, walked into the doors of the church, and there I saw eight huge boxes filled with candles. I remembered that the Sunday before we'd prayed that the Lord would send us light, but we didn't know it would be in this form. So I noticed that it was sent to the Church of Our Lady of Guadalupe. I didn't know any ladies of Guadalupe, so I took it over to the local Catholic church, and yes, I found that they were engaged in dialogue with their own laymen, with laymen of Protestant churches, and with other Protestant ministers. And I was somewhat shaken, as I remembered in the convention in Atlantic City of the Southern Baptist, that we found trouble agreeing to have dialogue with our brothers of the North. And the word ecumenical must not be a bad word in the vocabulary of any Southern Baptist, as truly we find ourselves in a complex world and confronted with human problems. And as Reinhold Niebuhr said, the ultimate social problem of human history is the creation of community in world dimensions. The love of Christ is the final norm of human existence, and this must express itself socially, end quote. And as you consider your response, and as you consider the missions conference, I think it would be wise for all of us to remember the prayer often used by the late Dag Hammarskjöld. Hallowed be thy name, not mine. Thy kingdom come, not mine. Thy will be done, not mine.